I'll start it now. There we go. There appeared to be, and I've talked about this before, right? When talking about Jesus, that whole Jesus guy and the time that he walked on this earth. But there appeared to be a lot of confusion as to what the purpose of his ministry when he appeared and started doing more of his public work with folks was. Was he going to be this new high priest in the temple to lead the Jewish people into a new age, or a king, right, that would establish once again the people of Israel as God's chosen people? It wasn't clear which prophecy of old that Jesus was there to fulfill and how it was going to be fulfilled. But what was clear, right, if Jesus was truly who he said he was, as we proclaim, then he was God incarnate, a walking embodiment of heaven meeting earth. But the implications, right? The implications of such a thing, the implications are not so clear as to what all of this means. And we see this in the people questioning Jesus in several places over and over again. At one point, we have some that are coming to Jesus as a test, asking him, "Is it right, Jesus, that we should pay our taxes to Caesar?" And Jesus' answer is to look at the coin, right, and see who it is that is on that coin. And he says, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's." And it's not dissimilar to our text today, when he is asked, or rather, told to go to one's brother about this inheritance. And Jesus responds with, "That's not what I'm here to do. I'm not here to deal with money between brothers and fathers and family." It even goes further in a teaching explaining how this is even getting in the way of that which is life-giving instead. Even towards the end of his ministry, Jesus points out in Matthew 26 that he could have legions of angels come down to stop his arrest. Heaven could have met earth in fire and flood and destruction, but it doesn't. Because God's vision for humanity isn't one of destruction. But God's vision for humanity is life. And here again, we are urged to seek out what gives life rather than what causes harm. But we don't make it easy on ourselves. In our society, in the way that society has been structured for a long time, we need money to survive and to live a healthy life. There is no denying this. Several places in the Bible, in fact, even state clearly that the laborer deserves to be paid for the work that they do. Jesus was not suggesting that the man was evil because of his possessions, because he had any possessions, rather. In fact, there is recognition of the gift from God that the man had received in the land producing so greatly. In verse 15, how wonderful of a thing to have happened for the land to have produced so greatly to not even have room for this gift. And something like that can only be seen as a miracle, an act of the Almighty. But instead of recognizing this as a gift from God, that it most certainly is and was, sharing this gift with those who were not blessed in the same way, the man tries to find ways to keep it all to himself. The warning here is not about the possessions themselves, but about when we let the things of this earth get in the way of letting us see our neighbors for what they are. Beloved children of God that are in need of God's gifts and resources, just as much as we are. The hungry, those without a place to rest their head, the sick, the impoverished, the lost, the lonely, are just as much in need. of what we so desperately cling to for a rainy day, because folks, for them, it is their rainy day. When we go beyond what we need to the point of the rich man, we get wrapped up in ourselves and we stop looking to a world that is in need. Because life is so much more than just the things that we collect. Jesus' message is to turn not towards the things of this world in hopes that heaven might change them, but to turn towards heaven in hopes that this world might be changed. It's not just about money or possessions either, though that is certainly a big part of it, right? Paul's letter to the Colossians is clear. Put to death whatever is earthly, he says, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. He goes on that you must also get rid of such things as anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. And it's assuming that it's because these things too are earthly things. Because this is what life looks like when we let ourselves get consumed by the lies telling us that we need to spend money on being hotter or skinnier or sexier or have the latest model phone, car, watch, or save it so that way we can have the title of being the next pointless billionaire. When we stop looking for life in these things, and start turning toward heaven instead, towards Jesus Christ, life no longer looks like anger, wrath, malice, and slander. Instead, it looks like that which comes from heaven. Instead of anger, it looks like love. Instead of wrath, it looks like joy. Instead of malice, it looks like peace. It looks like patience, goodness, kindness. You've heard these before, faithfulness and self-control. In short, it looks like the fruits of the Spirit. For if we truly believe that the heaven has come close to us, has met us in the person of Jesus Christ and will do so again, then we must believe in the hope of a society that is built upon these things, that is built upon love, upon joy, upon peace and patience, upon goodness and kindness, upon faithfulness and self-control. For if our God has truly come to us and brought us near to heaven through the love of Jesus Christ, certainly we will know the goodness of a God that promises us that there is more to this life than that which gets in the way of our love for one another. Certainly, then there will be a day when we no longer consider the price tag first to feed hungry children in war-torn areas of the world and do it simply because they are beloved children of God. Certainly, there will be a day when we don't get into these petty arguments about whether somebody should be living on the streets, but instead we extend a hand because of the dignity that is found in them through Jesus Christ. Certainly, heaven is still with us because Christ, where heaven meets earth, is still in you and in all beloved people of God. And it is in that way that you have been made a place where heaven meets earth. You have been made a place where heaven meets earth every time you act in the way of the Spirit of God. Every time you act out of generosity and love, that is God's heavenly realm breaking through in you. You, through the love of Jesus Christ, have been made to be a part of just a little bit of heaven here on earth, now and forever. Amen.